Blog Talk Radio.
I remember when sin was sin, and I remember when wrong was wrong, and I remember when we all fell short, and got back up, much quicker than the fall. Well, I'm praying that you open our eyes, praying that you open our eyes. Father, please open our eyes. Father, please
open our eyes again. Yeah, na 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 na. I remember when the left was left. Yeah. I remember when we had.
Exactly what she meant, and then she followed up and said, because I told you so. And I'm praying that you open our eyes.
Oh my God.
I'm praying that you open our eyes again.
Oh Father.
Father, please open our eyes.
How many want God to make it right? God can make everything right. Can make it right.
He won't, he won't,
I feel like acknowledging him. I feel like praising his name because he can make it right. No matter what you go through, God can make it right. That's something to sing about. That's something to shout about. That's something to believe God for. He can make it right. That's what we live for things to be right. So we have all of the answers. Just ask God to make it right. Won't he do it? Won't he do it? God will do it. I am excited because I understand that I can go to the King of Kings and he can make everything right. For the heart of the king is in his hands and he turned his head whichever way he pleased. God can make it right. So we want to encourage you. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't relent. Just keep walking. Keep pushing. Keep pressing. Keep going. Don't stop. Because God, he can make it right. That Cece whining, God can make it right. When you hear the naysayers, you tell them, God can make it right. Amen. According to your faith, be it unto you. Glory to God. We're talking about kingdom living today. Kingdom living. Kingdom living. That's when you move away from the natural and you live in the kingdom. Amen, somebody. I'm telling you, it's a place where God want to take us, where we can live in straight peace. Not that you won't have problems, but you would have peace in the midst of the pain. Father, we thank you for this time with you. We glorify you. We acknowledge you. We thank you for what you have done. We thank you for what you're going to do. God, we ask you in the name of Jesus, God, as I go forth with this teaching, Father, you would open up the ear gates of your people who are called by your name, God, that they would hear your voice and they would know what you call them to do. We thank you, Father, for making it right. We thank you for the joy of the Lord is certainly our strength, that no weapon formed against us will prosper. And every single tongue that rise up against us in judgment, Father, we thank you for condemning it. We condemn it and it's condemned. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Happy, wonderful Wednesday to everyone that's on the line. For this is a day that the Lord has literally made. And we shall, not we shall want to, not we're gonna, we shall rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. I'm telling you, your joy is in the Lord's hand. Stay in his presence. Stay in his face. Amen. Stay in his presence and you will certainly see the hand of God move in your life. Amen. Glory to God. We're going to be talking today, and as a matter of fact, for the month of March and April and May, we're going to be talking about the kingdom. Amen. Talking about the kingdom of God. Amen. I'm telling you, a kingdom lifestyle is totally different from just existing. Amen. Amen. So I hope and pray that you have your Bibles. I hope and pray that you have room for the Word of God. Glory, glory, glory. Amen. We want to kindly ask you if you would turn to Matthew chapter 4, verse 17. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. And, you know, as we go forth with this study, we just pray that you have your Bibles, your notebooks, and a pen, because you might want to jot down some things about what God is doing and how the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. We talk about the kingdom, but we want to be about the kingdom. How many want to be about the kingdom? How many want to be living with a kingdom mindset? You know, kingdom principles. Amen. That's what we're going to be talking about. Kingdom principles. Amen. Coming against religion. Amen. Sometimes we walk in religion, and religion will keep us from embracing the kingdom of God. Amen. Well, glory to God. And the Bible says in Matthew 4:17, from that time on Jesus, he began to preach. Guess what he began to preach? He says, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven. This was the first public statement revealed about the kingdom priority. Amen. So the first thing that he said is repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. So we know exactly what he's saying. Repent, turn from the ways that will cause sin to be in the camp. Turn from ungodly lifestyle, ungodly thinking. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near. Listen, let's find a scripture that's talking about the kingdom of heaven. Amen. We're gonna dissect it so that we can get a clear understanding on what Jesus is trying to convey to his people. Amen. Go to Matthew 5. Just flip it over. We're going to flip through the Bible until we get it. Amen. Matthew 5:3. I'll give you an opportunity to turn to Matthew 5. Amen. And we're going to go to verse 3. Glory. Amen. Amen. And the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Now, should we be poor in spirit? What do you mean? Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs kingdom of heaven. Do you know if you repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near? And once you repent, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. See, Jesus, he first announced this on the arrival of the kingdom of heaven, when he began to talk about the kingdom of heaven. Amen. Glory to God. Let me see what's happening with my pages here. Amen. But he announced about the kingdom. And before that, the kingdom principles had never been talked about. So it's a whole different way of living. Amen. It's a whole different lifestyle. And there's principles in the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God, and we're going to be talking about the difference so we can all understand. We're going to be talking about the source of religion. See, sometimes we could be religious and not operate in the kingdom. Amen. For God wants us to operate with a kingdom-type anointing. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. And as I go forth, I want you to begin to meditate on those two scriptures. First, we have to repent. Amen. God have already gave us dominion, and we are in the New Testament when Jesus is teaching and he's talking about the kingdom. It's when he first mention the kingdom of heaven. Glory to God. Amen. So, the poor in spirit. Are you poor? I mean, it sounds like it's a controversial statement. Amen. It sounds like we should be rich in our spirit. But the poor in spirit. What does that actually mean? So that means that your spirit is poor, but the Spirit of God is rich in you. So sometimes we lean to our own understanding. And when we lean to our own understanding, we will become poor in spirit when we release our will for thy will and the Spirit of the Lord take over. Our spirit is under subjection of authority of God. So now, you know how you hear people say, oh, I'm just free-spirited. What does that mean? You're free-spirited. No, we possess the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit. So we deny ourselves and we acknowledge him in not some of our ways. Come on. We acknowledge him in all of our ways. Why? Why do we need to acknowledge God in all of our ways? And we know what the Bible says. For the Bible says when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, that he'll direct our path. But when we don't acknowledge him, you know, sometimes you hear a person, they may say, oh, my spirit told me to do this. You know, I felt my spirit leading to do this. And very seldom do you hear a person, well, you know, you here and there, people that will say, the Spirit of the living God, the Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit told me to do this. Amen. So we put in kingdom priorities and perspective. Amen. You can write that down. Kingdom priority in perspective. And when Jesus was first announcing his arrival of the kingdom, his solution to the malnourished, and I like to say the bankrupt human spirit. We have to bankrupt our spirit so that the Spirit of living God can rule. See, a bankrupt human spirit is not a religious, it's not a religion, but the kingdom of heaven, the poor in spirit. So when you're bankrupt and your spirit is bankrupt, the Bible says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So in other words, if you are spiritually poor, only the kingdom will satisfy. Only the kingdom of heaven will fulfill your hunger. See, the kingdom of God priorities, it's prioritized, and it must become our priority. See, if we are to overcome the confusion of religion and the threat of self-destruction, we have to be poor in spirit. You know, sometimes we just want to be right. You ever seen a person that just want to be right? You know, just want to be right. You know, to me, I mean, you get to a point that it really doesn't matter who's right. We know that God is right. So let's be able to disagree, agree to disagree, should I say. We don't want to self-destruct. We want to allow the Spirit of God to take over. We want to be poor in spirit, amen, so that the Lord's priority will become our priority. And that's when we can overcome all confusion. That's when others say things that we know not biblically based. we can overcome it. And we will not be threatened with self-destruction. Amen. So we won't lean to our own understanding. We will acknowledge God in all our ways. Remember that. And as we acknowledge him in all our ways, guess what? He will direct us. Let's talk about religion versus kingdom. Have you ever met people, they talk a good game, you know, they say they saved and on fire, filled with the Holy Spirit, and you watch their demeanor. You watch their love walk. You know, you watch how things are just all about them. What have you done for me lately? What have you done for me lately can be the type of attitude that some Christians, some of us, can have. So you pay attention to the fruit that's being produced. Sometimes it's a religious demon. Religion. Okay, let me first say this. The power, religion have power. The power of religion, it lies, and I want you to get the understanding, in its ability to serve as a substitute for the kingdom. You know, religion feel good. You know, you're not partying, you're not drinking. You know, you go to church on Sunday, you go to Bible class on Tuesday, Wednesday, whatever. You pay your tithes, but you're in your own world because it's all about you. It's not about community. It's not about others. It's not about building God's agenda. It's not about building God's purpose. That's religion. See, it serves as a substitute for the kingdom, and it hinders us from pursuing the genuine answer to dilemmas. You know, you hear people say, go along to get along. You know, I'm just letting it happen so I can get along. You know, I'm just fitting in. I'm not going to cause any trouble. You know, they called Jesus a troublemaker. You ever been called a troublemaker? Let me say this. If you're stirring up the things of God where someone is comfortable and you are sanctioned to trouble the water, and you're called a troublemaker because now those demons that was once comfortable, they've been stirred up. So if Jesus was a troublemaker, guess what? Maybe it's okay to be a troublemaker. I mean, as long as I'm not talking about a troublemaker that's not lining up with the Bible, the Word of God, but a troublemaker stirring up the water that caused every crooked way to be made straight. Jesus was called a troublemaker. Why was he called a troublemaker? You know, he was called a troublemaker because he didn't go along to get along. Amen? He was known as the world's greatest troublemaker. See, Jesus disturbed the peace and caused fights. Why? Because Jesus, when he came in a situation that was ungodly, guess what he did? He troubled the water. He was a combat commander. Amen? He didn't play. He didn't go along to get along. He didn't relent. He didn't give up. He changed things. And they called him a troublemaker. Amen. So if you've been called a troublemaker for the sake of Christ, it's okay. Amen. You know, they may say, here come a troublemaker. Can you imagine when Jesus was coming, here they go, here come the troublemakers. And that's what they'll call you. when you're walking in the things of the kingdom. Amen. So don't get offended. Don't be moved. It's okay that they call you a troublemaker for the things of the kingdom. Amen. You're shaking up religious demons. Amen. Because they like to be comfortable, and then it causes you not to grow. They like to make you feel different ways about the things of God. See, the part that got me, when the people who met the real Jesus, they had no problem at all seeing him as a troublemaker. You know, they saw him as strange. Even they saw him as being dangerous. And even in John 7:5, even his own brothers did not believe in him. See, his family once tried to stop him from teaching and to take his home because they thought he was out of his mind. Jesus, the troublemaker, because he had to birth out some things so that religion would not be steadfast and unmovable. He had to get the kingdom involved. So the religious substitutes the kingdom, and it hinders you and I, mankind, humanity, from pursuing the genuine purpose or the answer to problems or the answers to dilemmas. So as I've been studying the nature of religion and how it impacts the process, don't get tired in the process, because religion will impact the process of our search for the kingdom. Cover to unveil several significant truths. See, sometimes we want the truth, because guess what? The truth is what makes us free. And so we've been taught so many things in so many ways that you've been taught this way, and religion have in your mind that that's the way. But then when God opened up the eyes of your understanding, you get to understand that that's religion. That's religion. So I can't keep going to church and stay like I am. See, religious tell you it's okay. Religion tell you that you can still do your thing. Religion tell you just get a little bit of Jesus and you'll be all right. Pay your tithes, you're good. No. See, religion, what it does, it preoccupies man until he finds the kingdom. See, the kingdom is the next level. So we come in and we say, okay, we saved and we fire baptized, but we're still lying, but we're still hating. We can't forgive. That's religion. See, when you got believers that don't want to love, but you can walk with that religious spirit, the kingdom won't come in your life. When Jesus was talking about the kingdom is near, the eyes of your understanding will be open. When the kingdom of heaven come in your life, your eyes are open. And you won't tolerate the things that you used to tolerate. Why? Because your eyes have been opened. See, what religion does, it prepares us, prepare man to leave earth. But guess what? The kingdom empowers man to dominate the earth. I want you to get this. So we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior. And we say, yes, he died on the cross. He didn't stay dead. And we believe he's the Son of God. And we believe that he raised from the dead, and the resurrection power was in his hand. Death had no power over the grave. Yes. Now, you're a religious person. You accepted it. You're a believer. So it prepares you. The Bible said, if you accept in your heart, if you believe in your heart, if you accept it, all about Jesus, thou shalt be saved. So you saved. You saved from hell. You saved. But to live a lifestyle, to be empowered, to dominate situations on earth, I'm talking about that dunamis power. Not walking in religion, because religion will just have you going along to get along. You know, religion will have you where you don't want to expose the enemy. Religion will have you where you're okay with things going wrong. You say, let us pray. Now, don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with praying, because the Bible said we should pray without ceasing. But religion versus the kingdom, there's a different act that you'll do. Because in the kingdom, you're empowered. You're empowered to dominate. In religion, you're preparing to leave earth. Oh, I just hope and pray I make it. Lord Jesus, I just want to make it. I don't need a crown. That's religion. But see, in the kingdom, you're empowered. You want a crown. See, God got crowns for the kingdom. So we have to have a kingdom mindset. See, religious have us focused on heaven. But the kingdom is focused on earth. See, the kingdom is focused on community. The kingdom is focused on family. The kingdom is focused on finishing your course. Religion is, I want to make sure my will is all done, and I want to make sure that I can see his face. See, religion is reaching up to, see, it depends on where you want to stay. You can reach up to God, that's religion, but the kingdom is God coming down to man. So God will come down to us. Hallelujah. We can pull down strongholds in the kingdom. In religion, you don't even want to do warfare. See, in religion, you don't even want to talk about demons. In religion, you don't even want to have no confrontation. You don't want combat. You don't want to deal with things, because you want to go along to get along. I'm going to say that again. Religion is reaching up to God. Help me, Jesus. Hallelujah. Shatarabosha. Help me, God. I need you. Religion. The kingdom is, Father, I need your power. I need you to endow me with your power so that I can make it happen through the power of God. So the kingdom of God coming down to man is the kingdom. And then what religion does, religion want to escape earth. I just want to get out of this. I'm just tired of this. That's religion. Why? Because religion have you working in the flesh. Religion will have you working selling chicken dinners. Religion will have you working selling raffle tickets. Religion will have you working until you're tired. And you just want to escape earth, and you want to be in the heavens with the Father. But the kingdom, come on, we're talking about religion versus the kingdom. The kingdom impacts. The kingdom influence. The kingdom will change the earth. Yes. When you are kingdom minded, you will have influence. Because when people come in your atmosphere, you are an atmosphere setter. You change the atmosphere. I want you to say it. We change the atmosphere in the kingdom. See, religion seek to take the earth to heaven. I want to make it to heaven. But the kingdom seeks to bring heaven to earth. Thou kingdom come. See, and when religious want to take earth to heaven, but thou kingdom come, it's kingdom work. Amen. See, perhaps when I think about it, just perhaps this is why Jesus, when he was addressing the religious leaders of his days, He addressed them so strongly. You know the story. Remember what he said, what he was saying to them? What did he say? He said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees. He called them hypocrites. He said, you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's face. He said, you yourself do not enter, nor will you let those enter who are trying to. It was a woe put on their life. He said, woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites. He said, you travel over the land and you see at the land and the sea to win a single convert. And when he become one, you make him twice as much a son of hell as you are. Now, I don't know about you, but that's deep to me. That's Matthew 23. And I read 13 and I read verse 15. See, sometimes the law of the land will make you operate in religion. The Bible says, obey the law of the land, but let thy kingdom come. See, the kingdom is a different way of living. Kingdom is a different lifestyle where you look strange to religious people. You know, they don't know how to take you. You know, they don't know, they want to judge you, but they don't understand that there's two judgments and you're not going to be in both judgments. There's a judgment for the believers and there's a judgment for the unbelievers. Amen. So you got to know, get your Bible, study the word so that you might not sin against God in your heart. Listen what, let me read chapter 15 of Matthew. Chapter 15 of Matthew, and I'm going to read verses 1, 2, and 3. And see, when Jesus didn't play, Jesus was just, he was so much God in the earth realm. And when you think about or when you read and see the things that he did, he didn't play. He just didn't play. He did not play around. He was living a kingdom lifestyle when he was here on earth. Listen what the Bible says in chapter 15. Verses 1 through 3. Amen. Okay, here it is. And the Bible says, then some Pharisees and teachers of the law, they came to Jesus, and they came from Jerusalem, and they asked, why do your disciples break the tradition of the elders? Tradition. They don't wash their hands before they eat. And I could imagine that Jesus just kind of chilled back, laid back, and was looking at them like, whoa. But Jesus replied, and guess what he said? He said, and why do you break the commands of God for the sake of your tradition? So all it's saying is tradition breaks the command of God. And the B clause of verse 6 in the same chapter, thus you nullify the word of God for the sake of your tradition. See, when religion is on you, guess what happens? You operate in tradition. They say, okay, let's wear red. We're going to wear red on third Sunday. Yeah, we unified on the third Sunday. But what about the fourth Sunday? You know, traditionally, we have to be able to understand that religion will separate us from the things of the kingdom. See, the Bible says, and I'm still in Matthew, and I'm going to stay in Matthew because we're talking about kingdom principles, and these principles are the principles that we are to abide by with kingdom living. Amen. So in Matthew 5:20, it says, the Bible says, "For I tell you that unless your righteousness," and this Jesus talking, "surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law," he said, "you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven." Good Lord Almighty. So we can't be stuck in religion. The Bible is telling us, and this is 21 and 31, the B clause, Matthew 21:31, when Jesus said to them, "I tell you the truth, the tax collector and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you." That's deep. So you look at the prostitute and you look at the tax collector and you like, "Oh, Lord, they're prostituting. Oh, Lord, he collecting tax. She collecting tax." And you think they're doomed. But the Bible says that they're beating the believers. They're entering in front of you unless you surpass that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law. You most definitely will not enter the kingdom of heaven. So it's a mindset that you have to embrace. You can't be, "Oh, me, oh, my, I messed up." You know, that's old, gone, and forgotten. This is the day the Lord has made. We take it from here. So everything we did yesterday that wasn't godly, we don't do it again. But we live for the day. Because he died for our sins of the present, the past, and the future. See, it seems clear from these scriptures that religion is one of the greatest obstacles of a kingdom. Perhaps, it may be because for us, and I'll say for all of us, to take another look at the power of religion over our lives, the power of religion over our culture, over our society. We think, just identify the spirit of religion. Identify it. Because religion will keep us from operating in the kingdom. I'm telling you, I don't know if it's good to you, but it's really good to me, because I understand that if we don't live with kingdom principles, we will never change. If we don't embrace kingdom principles, we're going to always be stuck in religion. And it is not the will of the Father for any one of us to perish. You want to be empowered. You want to be endowed with power. Adapt to the kingdom principles. Back to the kingdom. See, Christianity is a religion. Amen? And if you find anything different, let me know. It's a religion that's well known. It's a religion that's well established, well studied. And I can say, well researched, well recorded, and I think it's fair for me to say, well distributed. But little or nothing is known about the kingdom. Search the things of the kingdom. Because Jesus talked about the kingdom. Kingdom. And as a matter of fact, most of those trained in official institutions to understand, like, the Christian faith, and you take homiletics and hermeneutics and you take these classes, it's all about Christianity. Very, very little about the kingdom. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of heaven changes your take. It changes your spiel. It changes your conversation. It changes your demeanor. You don't seek to be right. Amen. See, the Bible says the poor in spirit. See, that means not your way, not my way. My spirit told me no. Poor in spirit shall see the kingdom. So we got to change. We got to change that haughtiness, that spirit that's inside and make you humiliated when you're wrong. You know, we want to make excuses. We just want to fix it to it, just add up to make it right. That's not what God is saying. So much that when you take these classes, it's almost like these classes, it comes against the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's almost like when you finish these classes, if you're not steadfast and unmovable, you will change your religion. Amen? But I want to encourage you to talk about and to study about kingdom courses. It was hard to even find a single course in kingdom studies as I did my research. So much and so many courses are available, but the result is that few so-called ordained ministers, and even in the fivefold, and priests, whatever you want to call them, have any formal instructions at all in any kingdom concept. It's all in the Word of God. See, their priority is in propagating the Christian religion rather than the concept or rather than the message of the kingdom of God. See, when Jesus was birthing the principles of the kingdom, he was being tormented. You know, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, everything he said, they had something to say behind it. They had something to do behind it. So in the Bible, kingdom is what we should embrace. See, the kingdom is unique. The kingdom, it's a difference between the kingdom and religion. So, you know, the religion, it puts you almost in tradition. Okay, I just think I didn't say it enough, because I want you to understand that when you say, Lord, allow the eyes of my understanding to be open, all the religion and tradition is going to eventually just go out the window. When you say, Lord, shower me with the spirit of knowledge and revelation and knowledge of your word, all you're asking him to do is open your eyes to the kingdom. See, God want to instruct us in principles of kingdom concept and how they should relate to our daily lifestyle. How, you know, when you get angry, don't start cursing. That's your spirit. And that means you're not poor in spirit. You know, when things don't go your way, don't start throwing out the wiles of the devil. Submit and succumb to a kingdom way of thinking. God is building people, power, and people of destiny through the kingdom. So we're having a hard time relating. We're having a hard time changing because we need to embrace the principles of the kingdom. See, kingdom citizenship is here and now. And I appreciate how kingdom citizenship is being appropriated in the lives of God's people. So what kingdom citizenship does, it empowers you to take authority over everything that's not like God. It empowers you to multiply, to increase. You understand what your purpose is. You understand what you're called to do. You're not wondering what should you be doing. Then you got to devour the prey while it's day, because night coming and no man can work. Amen. I'm going to stop right there, but I am going to be teaching on kingdom for the next couple of weeks, because it's in my heart that religious demons have been taking over God's people. And it's important that we understand that we have to listen. When we listen, we show love. Amen. If I start listening to you, it's because I love you. Listening is actively loving in his kingdom. Amen. Amen. This is just good to me. And I know, I pray that you embrace the things of the kingdom, because kingdom is God's way of changing us. God's way of doing his will through us. It's God's way of giving us fulfillment. Because in religion, you can't get it. Because you'll be so judgmental. You'll be so self-righteous. Because if they don't do it your way, you're passing judgment. Amen, somebody. Come on, just say amen to Jesus. Because understand that it's all about the kingdom. It's all about growing. It's all about becoming. And then most of all, it is all about others. It is all about building the community, families, one by one, kingdom's sake. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And again, let me say, the difference between religion and kingdom, religion is bringing, coming up to God, but kingdom is bringing God to us down here on earth. Amen. Let thy kingdom come. Glory to God. I pray that you are blessed. I pray that you embrace the change. I pray that you don't go back to where you have come from. I pray that you keep moving forward. I pray that you understand that your past is your past. And today is a new day. Amen. And all things have become new. Open your eyes and see the beautiful place of the kingdom. Amen, amen, amen. Well, we want to thank you. We want to encourage you that salvation is free, but ministry costs. So if you like what we're doing, we want to encourage you to sow. It doesn't matter how much. We are doing kingdom work at Kingdom Builders Development Institute, where we are blessed to be a blessing. So we need you to sow where you grow. You can go to giveify.com, GiveLify.com. Look for Kingdom Builders, Kingdom Daughters. You can sow there. And we are a 501c3 organization, so it's a tax write-off. You can sow. You can watch as people are developed in the things of the kingdom. And with that being said, you to understand that we are at 823 South Main Street on Sundays at 9:30, our new time. We was doing 8 o'clock sharp, but guess what? 9:30, we'll be there live. And we're making it so you'll be able to go online if you're in a different state or what have you. You can go online and you'll be able to still be with us with the broadcast. Amen. And I don't want to leave out our 6 o'clock prayer every Wednesday morning, every Friday morning. You can call in to our prayer line. Amen. And I don't have the number in front of me, but I believe it is area code 2. I'm guessing, y'all. Don't worry about it. We'll give it to you at another time. But those intercessors that already have the line, please call in. We're looking forward to your support. Make it part of your agenda, part of your plans, because we're interceding for those of the kingdom to come into things of the kingdom. Amen. Amen. We say glory to God. Elder and I want to bless somebody. We want to embrace you. We want to pour into you, and we want to watch your ministry grow. We want to watch your business grow. We are doing 501c3s. We are doing corporate papers. We are doing with a network of services we're offering that you may be able to make that vision manifest, because there's more than enough in the kingdom of God. Amen. God bless everyone. And please, as you go about your day, don't forget, it's not about you. It's about others. And as you keep giving, as you keep serving, and you live in the kingdom, you'll understand that God will give you the overflow because you sowed the seed in the lives of someone else. Amen. We love you. Join us Sunday at 9:30. Join us Wednesdays at 5, live at 5. And then you can join us on the prayer line. If you need more information, you can give us a call at area code 313-583-9739. From Elder QT Docs and myself, Pastor Teresa Docs, we send you love and blessings to you and your home, and may you continue to prosper in Jesus' name. Amen. So, Father, we thank you. Cover your people. All that was heard, seal it in their heart that they might not sin against you. Father, we ask you to restore us as we poured out. Give back to us 100-fold in Jesus' name. Amen. Just Shabbat the Lord, because God want to breathe on you. God bless everyone, and we will be back soon.